Christian when I was younger, but she did carry me for 9 months. She did nurse me. She did rear me. She did teach me right from wrong. She did encourage me to go to Sunday school and to learn from the Word of God, from which I finally became a Christian, and ultimately she herself made a decision for the Lord. And without my mother, there is no possibility whatsoever of my being what I am today, even though in my early years she was not a Christian. Secondly, I would like to give a tribute to Betty Spontek, a name known to God, to the angels, and to some people in this world. But when I came to that little Sunday school at age 9, the first smiling face I remember was just a radiant Christian Sunday school teacher, not mine. Somebody else's Sunday school teacher. But when I came in that door, there was Betty Spontek just radiant for the Lord, always happy. I don't remember but 2 Sunday school lessons in 8 years. One about joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, other second, yourself last. And one about a tabernacle. Most of the time I was kicking the kids next to me, throwing paper wads, fooling around. Just a regular little brat in Sunday school. But you know what I remember for 8 years? I remember that these people picked me up on a Sunday school bus for 400 times before I became a Christian. 50 Sundays a year I went for 8 years. And there they were every Sunday smiling. Betty Spontek, what a radiant Christian smile. Who knows how much that meant to me before I can remember. Then I would like to pay tribute to Mrs. Hannett and Mrs. Older. When I first became a Christian, these dear ladies, every Thursday night, we went to jail, on the outside, of course, and we had a little service. Mrs. Hannett played this little pipe, this little pump organ, you know, just pump away and playing the keys. Mrs. Older went with her Bible, and we as young Christians went along to share our testimony, the fellows behind bars. About 9 weeks of sharing my testimony, and one night the preacher didn't show up. And these dear ladies said to me, "Well, Norm, how about you giving a message tonight?" 9 weeks old in the Lord, mind you. I said, "I'm not a preacher. I don't intend to be a preacher. I don't know the first thing about preaching." They said, "Just give your testimony and read something with the Bible." So I opened John 3, and I read, and I give a little bit of my testimony. I read, and I got through verse 16, and I said, "Let's pray." And as I recall, 2 or 3 men made a decision for Christ that night in that little jail. And those ladies said to me, "You know, you ought to seriously pray whether God is calling you to ministry. He worked through you, and God seems to have given you the gift of ministering, and you ought to pray and ask God." If it hadn't been for the encouragement of those dear ladies, and I went to jail for about 2 or 3 years every Thursday night with them, and they kept encouraging me, I probably would not be in the ministry today. Thank God for my mother. Thank God for the smile of Betty Spontek. Thank God for the encouragement of Mrs. Hannett and Mrs. Older. And then it was Mrs. McCullum, the youth director's wife. She was so faithful and so earnest, and every Wednesday night, every Monday night, they took us out witnessing. They took us down to the City Rescue Mission in Detroit. Wednesday night, there we were studying the Word of God. And I remember how many times she'd say to me, as I was stumbling my way through trying to understand the Bible, "God has given you insight. God has given you ability to study His Word." And I probably would never have gone to Bible school or on into the ministry if it hadn't been for Mrs. McCullum and her encouragement to me. Then, the greatest of all, I'd like to pay tribute to my wife, Barbara. 25 years she has put up with me. 25 years she has let me loose to fly around the world and to speak to people everywhere and to sacrificially not only be the mother of our 6 children and my companion and co-worker, but my best counselor. There is no one in the world that means so much to me as my wife Barb, and I wouldn't be what I am today by the grace of God if it were not for my wife Barbara. These women have made my life, and I thank God for them and their ministry. Talk about ministry. They have been my best ministers over the years. And if God didn't have women ministers, He wouldn't have this male minister, for which I thank Him. If we had time tonight, wouldn't it be interesting to have a whole diversion here on the women in Jesus' life and how they ministered to Him? You remember his mother. You remember Mary and Martha. You remember Mary Magdalene and the whole host of other women that surrounded Jesus' life. To whom was it that Jesus first appeared after his resurrection? To a woman. The women who ministered to Jesus in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. A woman was first to minister to him in his life, his mother. Women were first to minister to him in his death. Most of the disciples were gone. It was women at the cross. And in his burial and in his resurrection, they met him first. If it weren't for women in the life of Christ who constantly provided for him, his ministry could not have continued in an earthly way. Now, let's get to the hard problem. Point three. We've gone through the biblical data. We've drawn some conclusions about the quality of women, about their ministry, about the authority of men, about the influence of women. Should we have women ministers in the church today? And I'd like to separate that question into two questions. First, in the New Testament sense of the word, should we have women ministers? And the answer is yes, an unequivocal, unquestionable yes. We should have women who are gifted in ministries and who are exercising their gifts in the church today. Women ministers in the New Testament sense of the word. Women have pastoral gifts, shepherding gifts. Women have teaching gifts. Compare Priscilla. Women did missionary work, Romans 16. Compare Phoebe. Women were recognized leaders in the church. Compare Philippians 4. Women have gifts of administration too. In fact, some women, most women that I know, have better administrative gifts than most men that I know. So in the New Testament biblical sense of the word ministry, that is to minister to serve, to help in a spiritual way, women had pastoral, teaching, missionary, evangelistic, and leadership and administrative gifts in the church. God gifted the church with gifted women. Second question. Should we have women ministers in the modern sense of the word minister? Not in the sense of gift, but in the sense of office. And to that the answer is an unequivocal no. That is, the Bible teaches that God has not given the office of a bishop or the office of an elder to a woman. If he did, he would be falsifying the very pattern of the Godhead and the order of creation. And there are two non-cultural reasons for it. That Godhead itself is ordered that way and creation was ordered that way, God could have made a woman first. And he could have taken a rib from a woman and made a man. And if he had, then the Godhead would be called Mother, Daughter, and Holy Spiritus. Then the woman would be the head of the family, and then the women would be the elders and the bishops of the church. But God didn't make it that way. And it's not for me to change the way that God made it. So the answer is, only men are elders and bishops. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, if a man desire the office of a bishop. The office of bishop was reserved for men. There were 12 men who were apostles. No one of Jesus' apostles was a woman. Women were not to rule over men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, not to usurp authority or rule over men. You see, the question is the difference between ministry and authority. Women ministers in the New Testament sense, yes. Women ministers in the modern sense of an office of elder, no. Conclusion. In dignity, women are equal to men. In ministry, they minister alongside of men. In authority, they are to be submissive to men. This is not culture, this is command. This is built on the nature of the Godhead and the order of creation. And God help the family and the church where the order is reversed. Because whenever we miscombobulate, that's my word, you won't find it in Webster, whenever we misconstrue what God has designed, we call upon ourselves calamity and judgment. To every woman in the world whom God has given any gift, I say, thank God they've carried on the mission work of the world. At one time, there were almost two women to every man on the mission fields of the world. They have basically been the Sunday school force that have molded our Sunday schools. For God in this country, women have done most of the work of most of the ministry in most of the churches, while men have gotten the credit for it. But remember this, in heaven, first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And if women were first to Jesus' tomb, first to Jesus' cross, maybe many of them will be first in the kingdom, while some of us will be sitting in second, third, fourth rows, or farther back. They have the dignity of men. They have the ministry of men. God has designed that the authority should rest in a hierarchical function of head and follower from God the Father to God the Son to men to women. And when we break God's chain of command, we break His way of working with us in our lives and in our churches. I might conclude by noting this, that if the modern so-called evangelical women's libbers, if the modern proponents of the kind of spiritual equal rights amendment are right, and if Dr. Jewett is right when he can say, you can look at the New Testament and say, Paul said it, but Paul is wrong, then we may as well fold up this book. As Francis Schaeffer once said, then you have a plastic Bible that you can pull in any direction. Because you see, God didn't give us the authority or the ability to do that with His Word. Suppose Paul was wrong in 1 Corinthians 11 about women. Suppose women are not to take their authority from a man and under a man. Suppose Paul's rabbinical tradition misled him. Then how about in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul was talking about the resurrection, and he said there will be a resurrection of the dead. Maybe it was he was a Pharisee, and Pharisees believed in resurrection, Sadducees didn't, and maybe he got all messed up because he was a Pharisee, and he put that resurrection stuff in because of the prejudice of his Pharisee background that believed in resurrection. Now you can't trust 1 Corinthians 11. Now you can't trust 1 Corinthians 15. And what did Paul say? If Christ be not risen, we're yet in our sins. Our faith is vain. We're of all men most miserable, and we're preaching a lie. See, it's not a casual, indifferent debate that is going on today. The question about the functional subordination of women to their husbands and of women to the authority in the church is not cultural, is not casual, and is not something that we can take lightly. The very fabric of the Christian faith and the authority of the gospel rest upon it. For if God was wrong there, speaking through Paul, He could have been wrong in the same verse in speaking about the lordship of Christ over the men, and in the same book in speaking about the resurrection from the dead. The foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And if the authority of Christ was to be submissive to the Father, and that didn't derogate His personhood, then don't feel put down, wife, ladies in the church, if it's your responsibility to be submissive to the authority of the elders or the bishops in the church. Just remember this, you are following in the pattern of Jesus Christ, who submitted to that same kind of authority, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. And our dear Father, how we thank You that in Your wisdom You have given to us a beautiful picture in the very order of the Godhead itself, in the submission of Jesus Christ as to how we as men should submit to Him, and how wives should submit to husbands and women to men in the authority of the church. But help us, no matter whether we are men or women, to recognize that Your gifts are given in great liberality and without discrimination to the whole body, and to be able to be ministered to by women who have gifts of teaching and of evangelism, of ministry and of administration. And help us not to be provincial, narrow, or chauvinistic, but to be open to all of the good gifts that You have given to Your church. Help us to thank You daily, each one of us as men, for the women that have molded and ministered to our lives through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.